Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
The views and opinions expressed by the hosts, guests, and callers on this show are not the opinions of TeleSouth Communications, its management, or advertisers.
William Carey University Athletics.
Every sport you find exciting.
Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
This is Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
We're covering everything William Carey University Athletics. From the field to the court and the diamond. On Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
And welcome everyone back for another edition of Crusader Talk. Glad to have you with us on this Martin Luther King Day. It is a great day to be talking about William Carey Athletics because we are right about to begin that awesome time of year of crossover season between basketball and baseball, which means we've got a lot to get to today. I'm Caleb Hamill. Josh West is with us as well. Dalton Stanford behind the board pushing all the right buttons. And we are going to get right on down to business. Josh, did the bus just break down or drop you off prematurely on your way back to Hattiesburg? You had a long trip out to Georgia, but somehow you ended up in Columbus. How'd that happen?
Yeah, no. 6.5 hours back. And then it was also certainly to turn around and do it again this morning and then get on over here. It was a challenge.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm no stranger to travel this weekend either. I just got back in from New York at about 10 o'clock this morning. So not enough to have jet lag, but enough to be a little off kilter. But the one who's going to be rock solid for us to start off the show, Josh, is the man who has been firmly rooted over at Milton Wheeler Field here lately. Coach Bobby Hallford joins us. And Coach, I can't believe it, but we're only 10 days away from season's beginning here for 2026. It's crazy how early we start baseball in NAIA.
Yeah, a lot of the teams do this. Some of the teams that we're going to play will play this week. So they're getting a jump on us a little bit. So it's right here.
Yeah, it truly is. And yeah, let's kind of first recap a little bit of last year as it leads into this year. Obviously, last year your team makes it to the postseason. You host a playoff round as, you know, is always the goal for William Carey, to get to host that opening round. Host a couple of good teams, and there was a lot of parity. We talked about that when we were previewing those teams. British Columbia comes out on top and make it to Lewiston. And in transitioning out of last season into this year, a lot of holes to fill in that roster. You and I were talking about it after Carey's last game, just talking about all the hitters that were graduating and moving on. And all the different positions you've had to fill. How has that been, the journey of rebuilding that roster?
Well, it's a challenge because, you know, you got a lot of guys that are still playing right now. Some guys playing independent ball. We got two kids that are playing Division I because of the extra year they got from the NCAA rule. And so our top four or five hitters basically are playing or still playing right now. So it's just a lot of holes to fill, but I feel good about where we are right now.
And one guy we are hoping to visit with here in just a little bit is DJ Booth. That is one guy from a batting lineup perspective that is returning to your team for this coming up season. And he offered a lot of good timely hitting for you just 1 year ago.
Yeah, we're real fortunate to have DJ back, and he's battled injuries and that type thing, and is able to, you know, play this year. And when he was growing up, of course, I felt like he was one of the best hitters in this area, and that says a lot for the Hattiesburg area. And so just an outstanding player. I feel like he's one of the best players in the NAIA right now.
Josh, I know you're a distance away, but obviously you're going to get to see a lot of these baseball games coming up this year. What are you most excited about?
Well, I'm just most excited to have baseball back. And to give you a little bit about my background with baseball, my parents never – they asked me, did I want to play every year, Coach Alford. And so when I was young, it didn't even cross my mind. Well, I got 10 or 11 years old and decided I wanted to play baseball. Well, I was 7 years too late. But then they put me with the 9 and 10-year-olds. So I – you know, could play center field, but I think I closed my eyes when I swung a bat. So, I mean, it was my baseball career was very, very short. But with that said, then I grew up in the mid 90s and they have a lockout in Major League Baseball and it just soured me to the game. And now, when I had a kid, and now with college baseball getting so big, and now me falling in love with the game of baseball, now that I'm 44. I love baseball more than I've ever loved the game. It is just It is something about just all the intricacies of it that I didn't appreciate in my youth. I was a basketball, Michael Jordan, Tiger Woods, you know, chasing a career, doing all these things in my youth. So it's the just the beauty and the romanticism of baseball. And for you, Coach, talk about what keeps you coming back every spring, because you love it now and enjoy it as much as you ever have.
Well, it's Americana. You know, it's part of our culture. It's part of how we grew up. Most kids played Little League baseball. Most kids played all the way up, listened to baseball. I can remember growing up in Meridian, listening to the St. Louis Cardinals on KMOX and on the radio. And so just baseball is a microcosm of life. I mean, it's just, you know, when you fail basically seven times out of ten and you're still successful as a hitter, then that just tells you a little bit about you have to adjust and you have to the ebbs and flows of the game. And there's just so many so much strategy involved today in baseball and with the analytics and that type thing. So it's just a challenge.
Now, looking back at last season, Coach, you know, one of the big headlines across NAIA baseball was that of the LSU Shreveport Pilots going a completely undefeated season. And we like to joke about on this program, that's only because their game against Cary got rained out.
Yeah, we like to think of that too. But we're playing them the third game of the season at their place next weekend. So, you know, it's a challenge for us. And just to do what they did, I don't know how that happened. I mean, you know, we have trouble beating our own second team or whatever in inter-squads every day. So, you know, playing that many games and having that type of success, that just is amazing. Of course, I looked at their roster. I think they had like 19 guys from different states. They had four from different countries. And these were a lot of older kids. And this is one of the things the NAIA today is a lot of older players that with the rules and the way they transfer, you know, it goes about and that type thing, because you're not on a clock like you are in the NCAA. You're on terms of attendance and that type thing. So you face a lot of older players.
Yeah, you really can. And now, just kind of looking at that, you know, first little bit of the schedule, you start off the year against the Masters University out of California. They're going to be part of that Classic in Shreveport, followed by Hope International. That's been a team that's been in Lewiston a couple times as well. And then you also, as you mentioned, face off against the host school in LSUS. This is a really stacked way to begin your year.
Well, we wanted to give our guys a challenge. We wanted to see where we are, because with all the new players that we have, we want to introduce them to what we're used to playing against. And I know Masters has one of the best programs in California year in, year out, one of the best coaches in the NAIA. And also Hope won the national championship in 24, and then Shreveport won it in 25. So you got two defending national champions. And we played Hope in the World Series a few years ago, probably one of the better teams we've ever played. And they had a player that was probably one of the best players we've ever played against. So, you know, our work's cut out for us, but we enjoy the challenge. And that's what, you know, that's what we like to do, is play the best teams we can possibly play.
Now, you're going to have a very heavy home schedule after that, as you'll have Campbellsville coming into town. Oddly enough, you didn't pair them with Mobab this year.
Mobab's coming, Missouri Bab is coming the following week.
So they didn't get synchronized up as they have been in the past. But so you've got Campbellsville and Columbia International and a bit of a round-robin style Friday and Saturday pairing on the weekend of February 6th and 7th. Road trip to Mississippi College, then you're right back at home against Mobab and IU Kokomo. Handful of other games, too, before you're right back in the swing of things with SSAC play with Abraham Baldwin. Big surprise for the conference last year of how successful they were. First conference weekend going to be February 27th. Pretty incredible, again, how quickly we get into the season and we're right there in conference play.
Well, what's interesting is Columbia International is coached by Rocky Musgraves, who used to be at Shreveport and basically put that program on the map. And this is his first year, so this is going to be interesting, you know, to play him again. And, of course, the longstanding Campbellsville, they're always good in their league, one of the top programs in the country year in, year out, and also Missouri Baptist. So we're looking forward to it. We're really looking forward to that competition.
Josh, you got one more thing for this segment before we go?
How much time do we have
left? We got about 2 minutes before the music cuts us out.
All right. So I told you about how much that my love for the game has grown recently. And so I think this is something that fans will enjoy. For my son's senior trip, he's a senior. He wanted to watch baseball. So I'm taking him up through the Northeast. We're going to go see the Clippers play in Columbus. We're going to go up to Rochester. We're going to go down and catch up with a friend of ours, Ben Ingram, and see the Braves, Pirates, Cubs, Baltimore, and then come down and see some more minor league ball. What's the best major league stadium you've ever been to? What's the best minor league park you've ever been to?
Probably Wrigley Field, and then the ballpark at Arlington when they first built that. But when I was about 10 years old, we had relatives in Chicago, so we went up and spent time and went to Wrigley Field. And the ballpark at Arlington was really nice, and just a lot of neat places to play baseball. And, of course, in my tenure there at William Carey, we traveled all over the country playing in different ballparks. The Big A in Anaheim was really neat. We played a regional out there and at Westmont. And so being there, watching ball games. And, of course, there are a lot of minor league parks that are really neat. You know, the Biscuits Park over Montgomery is a really nice place, a neat place to. And we stay right down the street from that ballpark when we play in Faulkner. And during the day, I go over there a lot of times and just kind of walk around. It's pretty neat.
Very nice. All right. Well, we've still got more to talk about when it comes to baseball coming up this upcoming season. Talking about it today because we're going to be covered up by live basketball on the airwaves on Monday night next week. So stay tuned. 10 days away from opening day for William Carey Baseball 2026. More coming up as you listen to Crusader Talk.
From the coaches to the student athletes and the fans that cheer them on, you're listening to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
All right, back here on Crusader Talk, we're talking to head coach Bobby Hallford here on the program. And you know, we've recapped last year, looked at the schedule, I should say, for the upcoming year, at least how it starts out. And one thing we haven't really dived into very much at all is just the sheer amount of players that are coming in here for this 2026 season, because we mentioned all the holes that had to be filled, haven't really gotten into the names. And coach, I wanted to start off with this. You know, we talked about hitters that are gonna have to come in, we'll get back to that, but yeah, something just absolutely astonished me when I looked up and down this roster, and that's something that the birthday boy, Eric Ebers, will be happy about. He's got some left-handers to coach now.
And that was one of the big things last year. We did not have a left-hander on our staff, so this year we basically have three, and so that was something that we were really concerned about, because in some of the games we couldn't match up against some of their better hitters, especially against Loyola last year. They had two or three left-handed hitters that really hurt us down the stretch in the tournament, so that was a priority for us.
Yeah, speaking of Loyola, that's the only team, I believe, in the SSAC ranked ahead of Carey going into the year as far as the NAIA preseason coaches poll is concerned. It's obviously everything right now is preseason. It's too early to tell. Nobody knows what anybody has until you actually see playing time on the field. But as it relates to your team, let's kind of go through some of these guys that you've brought in. I know one guy, a legacy player coming in. And Breck Danielson.
Yeah, and he's looked really good. He pitched today in an inner squad, and he'd been sick last week. He had I think a strep throat, and he's looked good in the early goings. And you know, gives us a left hander that has a good breaking ball and can really match up with a good left handed hitter. So, and that's something that we needed, you know, last year. So you know, we're looking forward to that.
All right, and let's kind of look at some of these other guys. And I know there's some returning talent, guys like Matthew Davis is back as far as your pitching staff. I saw some other names familiar from last year as well. What's kind of that ideal, possible starting three of a weekend that we may see? You don't have to tip your hand early,
but well, at Matthew least Davis right now would be our number one. You know, last year he was really coming back from Tommy John. He'd been at the University of Little Rock in Arkansas and battled Tommy John, and so he was throwing really well, and he had a strained UCL and missed a month. And so when he came back, you know, he was okay, and he pitched well, so he's looked good, and he's back to being healthy. And of course we have Everett Thompson. He pitched at Itawamba last year. He's a project force that I think is going to be really good. He's got the size, and he's got he throws the ball upper 80s low 90s with a good breaking ball. And then of course Josh McCord, he's coming back, and he's been injured and that type thing last year. So a lot of our guys last year, that was the big thing about our team last year. We were very good offensively. We could really swing the bat, score a lot of runs. But pitching-wise, we were injured. You know, Shira had a bad back all year, and then And then Matthew missed that time and that type thing. So we relied basically on two or three pitchers. And so this year we have a lot more depth there. And so we're hopefully, going to be a lot better on the mound.
One guy that I wanted to see about is a guy that I was very impressed with 2 years ago before Kerry lost him to Tommy John. That's Adam May. How is his recovery journey?
He's coming back. He's making good progress, like I say, through today and in inter squad. So he's coming back and he's healthy. And so that, we're looking forward to, for him kind of coming back to his to what he looked like before.
All right, Josh, what you got?
Coach Holford, when it comes to, putting together this many new faces and recruiting this area, when I talk to certain coaches in certain sports, it depends on how Kerry is perceived. Now, obviously, with your decades of experience and the success that Kerry baseball has had, you would think that, it would put Kerry in a great position. But with recruiting always changing, I don't want to say evolving, it could be devolving in some senses, depending on how you perceive it. But how has that been as it continues to change the way that Kerry is able to present themselves to these recruits?
Well, I think that with the portal and with the Division I players and that type of thing, and I don't think it really affects us as much as everybody thought it would. A lot of those kids that go to the larger schools, they'll go laterally when they leave. And so we're getting some kids now that kind of see the big picture. They kind of look out there and say, I want to be a doctor. I want to be, we have courses of study that a lot of places don't have. We have a medical school, we have a PT school, pharmacy school. So a lot of these kids are looking at long term. And so that's a good thing. And so we're able to attract these kids that have the ability to keep playing. Some of them do. But also looking at a career. And most kids that play baseball, they're not looking ahead. They're looking, thinking they're all going to play in the major leagues. And, that's about a 1% or 2% of the kids that play college baseball. So I think that's something in each year in the last, I'd say the last 8 or 10 years, we're putting a club together each year. It's almost like a minor league team. You're trying to find the best kids that are available and that type thing. Now, we have a better base of freshmen this year than we've had in a long time. And that's encouraging because it's all about development, especially at our level. We have 4 years to develop a kid. A lot of these places, they have to win right now. And so they don't have that luxury of seeing that potential in a kid and really want to work with him. Patrick Lee's a great example. Mm-hmm. Came in here as a freshman and played a lot. And then now he's in the minor leagues with Detroit and just got better every year.
Now, Coach, when we talk about recruiting for a whole new year and it's such a big sum of new players, it takes a little while sometimes for that chemistry to come together. How big has that new field house been a part of helping this team grow together?
Well, I think a lot because they hang out there a lot. They're in the locker room and hanging out, watching TV, playing games, that type thing. In the past, they didn't have it. So that has a lot to do with the chemistry of your team, and that really helps.
Yeah, you talked to me just a moment ago about a couple guys that have gone up to what we call the next level as far as they got an extra year of eligibility, they got to go to the D1 schools, two guys in Luke Lissette and Rigoberto Hernandez, both part of last year's team. It looks like they're going to make big splashes come their respective schools this season.
Well, it doesn't surprise me because, I've been doing this a long time, and I just rail at the, when people say, well, he's a D1 player, he's a D2 player, he's a small college. A baseball player is a baseball player. If a guy can mm-hmm. play, he can play at any level. And so I've always said that to my players, and I feel like if you can't play at the highest level, you're not going to win in Lewiston, Idaho. You're not beating the top teams in the NAIA if you can't play at the highest level. And that means Division I. I mean, that's just all it is to it, and I'll stand by that.
Yeah. Now, Coach, this year obviously is one where you had – oh, excuse me, let me go back. Last year was a big year as far as records for you in that you passed Coach Ron Polk's career record of wins – of 1373, I believe it was. We were tracking it right there to the bitter end of the regular season. I guess now the next record is, hitting 1,400 wins as a coach? Just thinking about that, back in your early career, did you ever think you'd get to that mark?
But winning games like that and having a record, that's never been a part of what I do. I mean, competition is what drives me. I just love the thought of playing someone that, maybe might be better. But at the same time, you have a chance to beat them. And I think that's something that we have preached, you know, my whole career there and the people before me, is that, you know, we're small, but we can play big. And so that's something that that's our mantra. And that's something that really motivates us every day. And that's what we're looking forward to next week, because we're playing three teams that are be as good as anybody in the country.
And in a day and age, Coach, where you talked about it, teams have to win right now. You mentioned the competition is what drives you every day, but it's also developing these players when a lot more programs aren't developing players. They're just coming in and having to cut them loose.
Yeah, and that's something that we have enjoyed with these kids that have come back from other places. And they say, you know, just the atmosphere, the family atmosphere, the care that these players are given at our university. I mean, it's just something that really makes us unique, and it makes us stand out. And that's something that I really believe in, and that's something that I've been a part of for all these years.
One of the big things that we always talk about in the game of baseball is a phrase that, you know, a longtime coach, one that we've already mentioned on this podcast, Ron Polk, used to say, and that's baseball. On any given weekend, sometimes things just happen in the game of baseball. I'm expecting William Carey to have a very successful year, as you typically do. With such a tough opening weekend, I'm just going to go ahead and throw this out there. You can look at different stat columns. You can look at batting averages. We found out from players in years past, like Josh Alexander slumped to start the year before he rattled off an above 300 batting average for the year. You can't judge a team or individual players based off their opening weekend performance. But that said, Coach, what are you expecting from this team come the first weekend to play?
Yeah, it's very unknown right now. We really don't know, because we haven't played as a group yet. We haven't played against outside competition. So, you know, I always tell the sports writers that come around, I'll say, well, look, you know, don't judge us until the end, you know, because it's a process. So you're trying to put, you know, put the right people out there in those in an order, and, you know, you're trying to figure out who you have. And you also try to figure out who can do what and what roles that they need to play. And in that process, you're hoping that these kids understand that, you know, we're not an equal opportunity employer. Everybody's not going to get to play. You know, I heard Christian say that a little bit about you have to learn, you know, when you get that chance, you got to take advantage of it, because if you don't, somebody else is going to do it.
Hey, we are just in the preface of this book of the 2026 season. We're about to find out who the characters are, what they're made of, and build this plot line as we climax to the end of the regular season and on into the postseason. Coach, we're looking forward to it this year.
Thank you. We're looking forward to it, because, like I said, it's a challenge. And to start from where we, you know, we are this year with all these new players, it's going to be interesting.
All right. He is Coach Bobby Hallford, head men's baseball coach at William Carey University. When we come back, we'll recap some of the weekend action of men's and women's basketball. Also, big news for cheer and the job they did down in Orlando this past weekend. That and more coming up as you listen to Crusader Talk.
You're listening to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
All right, rocking and rolling here into the third segment of Crusader Talk. Man, so good to catch up with Coach Hallford. That is always one of my favorite interviews every single year. Not that we only do it once a year, but one of my favorite guys to talk to. Just knows the sport so well and is so articulate to the point of you quickly realize just how little you know about the game, but he's never intimidating about it. It's always just so fun to just sit back and talk baseball with him.
Oh, it is, and that's why I was. I won't give the podcast or who the interview was, but I took in a podcast this weekend, and I had to take it in over 3 days. It was 2 hours and 40 minutes. You feel like you could do that kind of podcast, you know, with like restroom breaks and things like that in real time to record it. You feel like you could do like a 3-hour interview with him.
Yeah. I mean, just sitting down. I mean, it's like a FDR fireside chat where you're sitting there, you just kick back, have a good time, do whatever, and just talk. I mean, you could talk about the weather. You could talk about golf. We were talking about, because I just got back from New York, we were talking about when he and his wife had gone to New York recently, about their trip and what that looked like several years back with Larry Watkins and others. I mean, it's just all kinds of stuff. And obviously, Coach Hallford has been around the game of baseball for so long, but he's also been around the people of baseball for so long. So all the different stories that he could give you just on a given day are uncountable.
Oh, I totally agree. Totally agree. And the stories are what you want to hear. You know, he talked about just being at such a slice of Americana. And it's, you know, like he talked about, most people have a different relationship to the game of baseball because they grew up listening to it on the radio, or they grew up going to games with their dads, or they grew up playing the game, or things of that nature. Mm-hmm. And that's why I was trying to share with y'all. I wasn't trying to overly steer a different way. But what I was saying was, is that there is something special about it to bring people in at different times in their life like me. And through my child actually bringing me, not my dad, but my child, right? My oldest son.
Right.
And then for Coach, it's that same love that keeps him coming back, just like the day he started, decades later, almost 1,400 wins into it. And so now I'll admit, you know, I'm hooked on it. I enjoy, I may not get caught up in the wins and losses and the race for the pennant as much as I enjoy going to these different stadiums and just kind of the backstory of the teams and the stories of the people in it and all the is there a better word than the romanticism of it?
I think that hits it pretty spot on.
Yeah, I mean it's just so cool. And then the fact that, you know, you have these small market teams, for example, that depending on the year, depending on the day, doesn't matter what your record is. You said it in the last segment, it's baseball. Does not matter what your team's record is. Depending on the pitching matchup, depending on the day, you can slay the giant any day in baseball. It's not like that in other sports. In a lot of other sports, you know the result when you show up at the arena or you show up at the stadium. You know it's not going to be pretty. You just don't know how bad it's going to be. Not in baseball.
Baseball. Now, you know, we were talking about baseball and how – yeah, the phrase "that's baseball" comes into play so much. It didn't happen for LSU Shreveport last year. They went an undefeated, 59-0, something ridiculous. I know it was in the 50s. But speaking of unbeatens right now, William Carey women's basketball is the only undefeated team left in the NAIA. RPI just got released today. They are ranked number 5th in the country, behind the likes of Freed Hardeman, Tennessee, who are number 1 in both men and women, Bethel, Tennessee at 2, St. Francis out of Indiana, 3rd, Rio Grande, 4th, and then come the Crusaders, with Tennessee Southern just one spot behind them. Josh, you've gotten to see them in person. This team has been dominant lately. They don't look like they're slacking up anytime soon. And given all the adversity of tough majors that these women are enrolled in, to the early morning practices, everything from injuries in the middle of the season, things have been stacked against them, but they continue to prevail somehow.
Well, they've managed to stay away, knock on wood. They've been able to get players banged up, but yet they're able to manage, right? To steal a football term, you get to a certain point of the season and every team's got injuries, everybody's banged up, everybody's sore, everybody's a little fatigued to a extent. You can say that is true as well with William Carey women's basketball, but give them credit. I mean, these ladies – it's such a cohesive unit, such a cohesive group. And so you've had, you know, Chanel Corpus miss a game that provided an opportunity for Anna Rose Engel to start. You had Leah Sutton miss a series of games, missed a stretch of 4 games in a row. And then you have Brooklyn Cuevas come in and establish herself in the starting lineup, a spot she has not relinquished. So you're getting the same productivity now from Leah Sutton off the bench, but you're getting more productivity out of Brooklyn Cuevas because of what that did for her confidence, the sharpshooter, the sophomore out of Hancock High School, who is, second best in terms of efficiency, 3-point shooter on the team, but in terms of volume of three, she's the best. It's been really neat to see how they have continued to develop players. I mean, make no mistake that Coach Garriga does not only such a great job of skill-wise developing these ladies, a lot of what they do with their game is what they personally work on, but it's what Coach Garriga and Coach Torrey and McKaylee and Peyton and that group do on the mental side. Because the development of a Bailey Duvall, the development mm-hmm. of an Addie Shear in year two at point guard, moving into that starter role and double figures scoring 7 of the last 9 games, averaging almost 13 points a game in conference, coming off a career high 23 points in the win at Thomas on Thursday night. And then I think about Charlie Gamberini. She was thinking right. She was going to redshirt.
Out of nowhere.
The true freshman, right, out of Germantown. Her first 3 shots of her carry career are all 3s, and she makes all 3. And now she's getting minutes every game, and she's a player that's going to go out and give you 5 or 6 points. And I want to take a moment to say, watch out for Mia Doyle.
Yes.
Mia's a junior out of Pedal. Yes. What was your thoughts on Mia?
I was going to say, you and I talked earlier, and we've said before that there's been a high ceiling for Mia that she's hasn't reached before. But this weekend hit 3 different career highs. Is that what you told me?
In one game.
In one game.
So she goes out on Saturday, 13 points, 8 rebounds, and 3 blocks. And it maybe 16 minutes. I mean, it wasn't 18 minutes. It wasn't a crazy amount of minutes. I'm not looking at the box score right now. But we had Mia on in the postgame show. And, you know, I made the comment to her that I said, Mia, you know, you're very nonchalant. You're very relaxed. But I can see that you're starting to have fun, that it's starting to click with you a little bit, that you're actually, even though you're very relaxed, it's she's starting to get a little bit of an edge about her. And she came down the floor on a break and double pumped one. So she goes up, the defender's flying at her, she pulls it down, hangs in the air, she's flying through the air and goes back up and scores it. And everybody leapt up off the bench and the coaches are looking at each other and I'm blows my mind. That's what Mia Doyle does. Mia Doyle can go up and grab the rim. So now you have another athletic post presence off the bench, which is every bit as athletic or more athletic than a Maddie Ladner.
Yeah, very possible.
So this is a group that that number 5 RPI that says so much to me. That's 3 years in the making. That's 55 regular season wins in the making. Because they had to they're at a different starting point. They're not an unknown. They're starting to become a known commodity. You know, it kind of feels like what Cary women's soccer became under Danny Owens' leadership and men's soccer, and then fill in the blank sport that over time. And so what Coach English and what Coach Garriga did over multiple years in the latter part of Coach English's career, especially, and then Coach Garriga taking that and just running with it from there. This is it's neat to see their ability to recruit quality freshmen and develop those freshmen. And Coach Halford talked about keeping these players for 4 years. It's even different at the men's level. The men typically get 2-year transfers, right?
Right.
And PJ and Bert and Coach Knight do a great job of developing those guys. But what Coach Garriga is able to do with the culture fits in that program, and then the way that they play defense this year, number 5 RPI, number 7 in the country. Let me double check that. I might have gone up. Yes, 7th in the country. They're allowing 52.8 points per game.
That's insane.
That's really, really good. They're holding their opponents to 31 rebounds a game, 13th in the country. Their field goal percentage is 12th best in the country. So it's not like they have the RPI and the record and so forth and it's been fluky.
Right. No, they do. They are 17th in the RPI right now as it was released today.
Did you say Loyola?
Sorry. Cary is 17th in the RPI right now. Loyola is actually a good bit further down. In fact, I believe they're below Faulkner.
Now, you were talking about RPI
yes.
for the women. Am I looking at the men?
Sorry. I was looking at the men. For RPI.
So the men are 70. Yeah, so Loyola's 11, Tennessee Southern 6th, and William Carey's 5th.
Yeah.
So that's the quality wins, right? Carey's 5-0 with quad one wins.
Yeah.
We talked about the 3 top 25 wins before Christmas. So that should lend itself to a very favorable seating.
By the way, the first arc of the year drops tomorrow.
Right. And I would think that they are going to have an opportunity to go somewhere as a one seed this year. Certainly right now, to be a one seed at a traditional power that's having not quite the year that they normally have. Am I describing that well in that sense?
I think so. Did Kerry put it a bid this year, by the way? Has that changed?
I would say no, just because of the Clinton Gymnasium not being vetted, a vetted venue.
So that they did not well, I guess we could ask the proper people to see if they have done that.
I don't believe that's the case.
Okay.
So, I think that would have gotten through the grapevine to me already.
Yeah. They did add the cameras, which helped their ability to do replay review stuff in the future, which was one of the steps they were taking to possibly make Clinton Gymnasium a possible future postseason venue site. But nevertheless, we still got one more segment to talk about that. And also to recap the weekend that Cheer had. We'll talk about what Coach Laura Lightsey and company were able to do as they competed in the UCA over the weekend. That and more coming up as we wrap things up here on this Martin Luther King Day edition of Crusader Talk.
You're tuned in to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
I told you during crossover season, the show flies by. Jeez. Here we are.
Yeah, where did that last segment go?
I know, and that's usually the long one, too. We usually have 13 minutes to talk, and all of a sudden we blinked and the music came on. But we didn't get a chance really to talk much about men's basketball. I want to hit on the results from the weekend because there were some highlights to talk about, you know, both in a tight game against Thomas and then a century mark victory over ABAC.
Yeah, I mean, they averaged 100 points a game over the past weekend, 113 on Saturday, 87 on Thursday, and they pulled it out. You know, the game they lost last year, Caleb, where an 11-2 run down the stretch and Thomas pulled the upset against Cary in Thomasville. This year, Cary surrenders a 15-point lead, you know, over the last 15 minutes of the ball game, or 14 minutes. But Malik Franklin, 3 free throws in the final minute to seal it up, and then Cary got a steal to lock it down and a deflection, and they survive in a game they lost last year. So this team is continuing to learn and grow and show growth.
Care to comment on the Thomas crowd?
Thomas crowd was rough. I said it was raucous and maybe a little raunchy is the way I described it on the air. But you know, kudos to the Thomas to their people of, you know, being able to question and ask and talk and were able to handle that situation with the crowd. But it unfortunately, kids being kids. And Thomas handled it really well. Wonderful people at Thomas, wonderful folks. Always enjoy my time there, but it's unfortunate when fans, you know, you want to, you know, get on the other team and have home court advantage, but you don't want to take it too far.
Yeah, I was about to say some took it a step too far, and that's when Staver stepped in, did the right thing, and
great job.
The guilty parties there. All right, now let's give kudos where it is deserved for this weekend. A big mark for William Carey's competitive cheerleading. Over in Orlando, Florida, the UCA College Nationals were being hosted out there. And William Carey competing in the Open Small Co-Ed Game Day Division, mouthful for me to say, but finished as second place finishers, silver medalists, just behind NAIA's Georgetown College in that division. Man, hats off to them, because this is a huge mark for this program. To kind of show their upward trajectory. That's kind of the way that Kevin and them phrased it in the article earlier today. But this has been a long time coming for Coach Lightsey and company to see the fruits of their labor come through with a big score and a big finish.
I know it's their job to be enthusiastic, but there are times where, you know, you could be up 30 or down 30 or up 40, down 40, whatever. But they are there. They are present. They are engaged in what is going on the floor at those basketball games. And they bring so much to that game day atmosphere. And I know they fall under athletics and they are a competitive program. And there's little doubt in my mind that they'll be winning national championships before it's all said and done. But it's also, they show up and they're there. You know that the cheerleaders are going to bring it each and every game at Clinton Gym, and so I really appreciate them for that.
Yes, indeed. All right, let's look ahead at what we have coming up on the calendar. Bruton Parker coming into town on Thursday for basketball action against the Crusaders. 5:30 women's start, 7:30 the men's game. That'll be simulcast on Supertalk Hattiesburg 97.3. Hope you'll tune in for that one. Then on Saturday, a whole slew of activity going on. We got both women's and men's basketball going on at Clinton Gym at 12 and 2. Cary also hosting a swim meet down in Biloxi against Loyola, both men's and women's swimming. Hope you'll be a part of that as well. Both basketball and swimming will be streamed live on the Urban Edge Network. You can tune into that. And then also men's and women's tennis hosting Zula, Xavier, Louisiana. Times TBD, but just at the great window of opportunity, those will be played here in Hattiesburg on Saturday. Also, coming up next Monday, we will not have Crusader Talk, but we will have live basketball action. Women's basketball will start at 5:30, and then the men will play at 7:30. Again, simulcast on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3. And then, man, the season just keeps on rolling on. I think I got out of order there a while ago. Maybe? Am I just seeing a repeat of stuff over here on the schedule? Yes, that's all it is. Never mind. I was going to say, all of a sudden, I scroll down the schedule and I see Bruton Parker again, and I guess it just looped and continued on. But nevertheless, that is kind of the look of the next 7 days for William Cary basketball, swimming, and others. And again, Thursday of next week starts baseball season, where Cary will be in Shreveport to take on the Masters, followed by Hope International on Friday, and then Saturday against the host school of LSU Shreveport.
Bruton Parker men went to Mobile and won by 13. That is a much improved Bruton Parker men's team. And then you think about what Cary still has left on their schedule: at Life, at Dalton, at Loyola, at Faulkner, at Mobile. Good grief.
Good competition. A chance to continue with collecting some high RPI wins if they're able to do so in the upcoming schedule. Well, Josh, best wishes to you and your travels. Look forward to having you back in town for basketball this latter half of the week and on to the weekend. And, partner, I will see you in a couple weeks.
Yep, sounds good. Thanks so much.
All right. Well, that is going to do it for us today as we wrap up this edition of Crusader Talk. Stay in tune with all the latest updates at CaryAthletics.com for all the latest news, updates to schedules, and a whole lot more. Just go to CaryAthletics.com or download the William Cary Athletics app wherever you download your apps, either in the Apple App Store or from Google Play on your Android device. Well, for Dalton Stanford and for Coach Bobby Hall for joining us earlier in the program, and my co-host Josh West, I'm Caleb Hamill saying until next time, good night, God bless, and go Satyrs.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.